Here are this week's headlines from CKUT's Community News Collective. We are now producing our weekly broadcast in collaboration with The Dominion, an independent grassroots news source that you can read at www.dominionpaper.ca or in the print version distributed monthly across Canada. We are broadcasting from Montreal December 24th and rebroadcasting on campus and community stations throughout Canada and the U.S. I'm David Koch. First up today, people around the world demonstrated last Saturday in solidarity with the jailed Iraqi journalist who threw his shoes at George W. Bush. For more, here's Annabelle Koo.
Last Saturday, protesters in Montreal and Toronto held symbolic shoe tosses at their respective U.S. consulates in support of jailed Iraqi journalist Mandahar al-Zaidi, who threw his shoes at George W. Bush last Thursday for, quote, the widows, the orphans, and those who were killed in Iraq. In Montreal, according to CKUT's Aaron Lakoff, present on the scene, around 100 activists and independent reporters gathered to throw their shoes at a cardboard cutout of George W. Bush.
So can you just tell me how you felt last weekend after Mandahar al-Zaidi threw his shoes at Bush?
I felt happy. It's the moment that we, maybe most of the Iraqis waited for, to shoot or throw a shoe to the face of a war criminal. Bush is the real war criminal. That's why it's nice to see him thrown by a very dirty shoe. And in Iraq, we used to use this method to insult and show that we oppose you in a way. Maybe they didn't like it in the West, but this is the way. Before we throw the shoe on Saddam Hussein, now to the face of Mr. Bush.
And what about this action here today? How does this make you feel?
I think it's a message to all dictators and all war criminals that one day you will get the shoe right in the face. So all the people, I think it's in the free world, they should now train how to aim the shoe right into the face and don't miss any war criminal again.
The demonstration was organized by the Montreal anti-war group Block the Empire, which denounces the U.S. occupation of Iraq and Canada's complicity with the so-called War on Terror. The group also supports the calls for al-Zaidi's immediate release from detention and denounces his abuse while in custody. In Toronto, according to the Canadian press, protesters chanted and distributed flip-flops on which were written anti-Bush messages. In addition, Ahmed Habib, a refugee from Baghdad, present at the Toronto toss, said he hopes Canadian journalists will find the courage to throw shoes at Prime Minister Stephen Harper until he pulls Canadian troops from Afghanistan. Al-Zaidi is currently detained and expected to face charges for insulting a foreign leader, possibly resulting in a 2-year prison sentence.
In the U.S., as President George W. Bush approaches the end of his term, he has begun to push through a record number of midnight regulations, according to The Guardian. Some of the last-minute reforms will make environmental restrictions more relaxed on air pollution. The Guardian also reported that Bush's regulatory changes will benefit his big business allies, including coal companies that engage in strip mining. Critics say that the midnight regulations will also undermine gun control, curtail the ability of women to have abortions, and reduce workplace safety. Clifford Cornell is scheduled to be deported from Canada to the U.S. today. The former U.S. soldier came to Canada in January 2005 after refusing to deploy to Iraq. He lives in Nanaimo, British Columbia, where he works at a retail store. The War Resisters Support Campaign is calling on the Canadian government to let Cornell and other war resistors stay in Canada. This would be in line with a resolution adopted by the House of Commons in June. The motion recommended that the government allow conscientious objectors and their families to stay in Canada to avoid fighting in wars not sanctioned by the UN. However, because the resolution is non-binding, the Conservatives, who oppose the resolution, can ignore it. In July, Canada deported U.S. war resister Robin Long. He is now serving a 15-month jail term for desertion. Cornell will also face punishment by a military tribunal in the U.S., according to the War Resister Support Campaign. On December 20th, a homeless man was found dead in a Montreal park. He is believed to have died from the cold, which was minus 16 degrees Celsius and minus 28 with wind chill. The 61-year-old man, whose name was not released, died just blocks away from the largest homeless shelter for men in Quebec. The director general of the Old Brewery Mission said that homeless people avoid shelters due to factors including shame, mental illness, and because they don't want to share a room with 71 other men. On Sunday, the three largest shelters in Quebec called on the provincial government to provide $3.3 million that it promised last year for emergency services. The Montreal death came just one day after a homeless woman burned to death while trying to stay warm as temperatures dropped as low as -8 and -13 with wind chill in Vancouver. The 47-year-old woman, known as Tracy, was burning candles in a temporary shelter she had built in a shopping cart when it burst into flames. Vancouver police say that they offered her shelter at least 3 times during the night. Judy Graves, the coordinator of the tenant assistance program for the city, said that the woman may have chosen to remain on the street because many shelters do not allow shopping carts inside overnight. The CBC reported that Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robertson and police are looking for options to compel homeless people to move off of the streets in sub-zero temperatures. In news from the war in Afghanistan, the Canadian military is investing in a controversial new weapon meant to reduce civilian casualties. For more on this, here's Annabelle Koo.
According to CanWest News, the Canadian military is spending over $10 million on 500 laser dazzlers for troops in Afghanistan in an attempt to reduce civilian casualties. The dazzlers causing temporary blindness are to ward off civilians who are too close to Canadian checkpoints or convoys. However, critics say Canada could be violating international treaties on the introduction of new weapons, including a treaty that prevents the use of weapons that cause permanent blindness. Despite a Canadian Air Force report stating that dazzlers can cause injury, ranging from virtually undetectable to quite significant, Anthony Saloom, director of the advocacy group Rideau Institute, claims that the devices are being put into the field without proper testing. According to David Pugliese of the Ottawa Citizen, Canada's law enforcement equipment supplier, M.D. Charlton, will be bidding B.E. Myers laser dazzlers for the Canadian Forces program, the same devices used by American forces in Iraq. While CanWest reports there have been various tests since 2007, with more planned for early next year, the dazzlers could be in the hands of Canadian troops in Kandahar as early as next fall.
In Colombia, a young indigenous man was recently assassinated in the country's northern Guajira region. The name of Miguel Angel Ospina Boscan appeared on a death list written by the paramilitary group Aguilas Negras. 15 people from the Wayuu indigenous group have been assassinated or disappeared so far this year. In other news, the Colombian army attempted to assassinate Aida Quilcue on December 16th. Quilcue is a prominent leader of the indigenous councils of Cauca. The army fired 17 shots at the vehicle in which she often travels. Her partner, Edwin Lagarda, was killed in the attack. Contributing editor of The Dominion, Don Paley, spoke to CKUT from Colombia.
This is an ambush that was carried out by the Colombian army on the partner of one of the most high-profile indigenous leaders in the country. There's been a major outpouring of solidarity from groups ranging from judges and people working in the judicial sector in Cauca, from trade unions, from other social movements, in solidarity with the indigenous movement here in Cauca, with the family of Edwin Lagarda. And, you know, the Colombian military has promised to investigate themselves. But as we know in Canada, when, you know, the RCMP investigates themselves, that doesn't usually lead to any proper sanctioning or any change in behavior. So there's a lot of skepticism around the process that's going to happen now. And there's just the overall feeling of outrage.
And those are the week's headlines. Our broadcasts are available for download every week at ckutnews.wordpress.com. And you can read more news from the grassroots at dominionpaper.ca. Thanks this week to Annabelle Koo and our friends at The Dominion. I'm David Koch. To contact us, email headlines@ckut.ca or call 514-448-4041 extension 6788.